Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Bob Rathbun here in Atlanta. What was your favorite game or games from that first weekend? A couple of favorites stood out for me. That Creighton-Oregon men's game that went double overtime was absolutely riveting. And I also got hooked on the Virginia Tech-Baylor women's game from Blacksburg. Quite a battle up in Blacksburg, Virginia. But how about you? We'll check in with Matt Nordlander of CBS Sports here in just a moment, and we'll get his thoughts on the first weekend and what he looks for in the Sweet 16. That's coming up in just a moment. Of course, for us, it's activation time, go time. We cannot wait to get to Cleveland and to Phoenix to set up our awards and honor these great men and women at the Final Fours, respectively. And it's a chance also for you fans to now become involved. You'll have your say in determining the Naismith Award winners this year, presented by Jersey Mike's. Starting on March the 26th, you can vote at naismithfanvote.com or on Twitter at MarchMadnessWBB and Naismith Trophy to cast your ballot for one of the four Jersey Mike's Naismith Trophy finalists for the men and the women. Now, the voting is going to end at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on April the 2nd. Fans aren't limited to one vote per day, but keep in mind, the fan vote will account for 5% of the vote total. So this is a very important part of our voting process, and we encourage you to get involved with us. Our Jersey Mike's Naismith Player of the Year finalists are, for the women, Cameron Brink from Stanford, Paige Beckers of UConn, Caitlin Clark from Iowa, and Juju Watkins from Southern Cal. For the men, R.J. Davis of North Carolina, Zach Edey, Purdue, Dalton Connect of Tennessee, and Jamal Shedd from Houston. Also announced are finalists for the 2024 Warner Leonard Naismith Coaches of the Year Award. For the women, the nominees, South Carolina's Dawn Staley, also Lisa Bluter from Iowa, Southern California's Lindsay Gottlieb, and Stanford's Tara Vanderveer. On the men's side, Danny Hurley from UConn, T.J. Otzelberger from Iowa State, Lamont Paris of South Carolina, and Kelvin Sampson of Houston are the men's finalists. When we come back, I'll check in with Matt Nordlander from CBS Sports and talk about the Sweet 16 right after this from Jersey Mike's.
Once you get the meat and cheese for your sub freshly sliced right in front of you at Jersey Mike's, I'll tell you, there's no going back to anything else. That'd be like going back to dial-up internet. Ugh. Am I connecting to space to order Jersey Mike's? Any day now. Okay, it's about to connect. What? Who picked up the phone? Nope, there's no going back once you see it freshly sliced at Jersey Mike's. A sub above.
Matt Nordlander from CBS Sports joins us on the podcast. This is our time of year, right, buddy? This is what we've been waiting for. And we thank you so much for all you've done to help us get through another Naismith Awards season. And now the cherry on top. Here we go, Sweet 16. How you doing?
Doing well. As we speak here on a Tuesday between first and second weekend, this is the one day of a little bit of a lull. I don't say a big one. I mean a little one. And I'm gearing up. I'm excited. I'll be in Boston for the regionals this weekend in the East, and I can't wait for it.
We can't wait to watch all of them. It's fantastic. Let's go back just a bit before we spring into the Sweet 16. You know, I'm fascinated always by selection committees and how this all turns out. The woebegone ACC, what do you know, still standing with four teams. The Big East did itself so proud and probably deserved three other clubs when we look back on it. But just your thoughts, Matt, about how it all shook out in that first weekend. And did anything go the way you thought it would, didn't go? What were your thoughts on the first weekend?
Well, I did think, and I write every year a Stats and Nuggets post that's kind of filled with a bunch of data, goodies, historical precedents about the tournament. And I did think, because we normally do, we get a little more craziness than we got. But the things that went the way I thought, like I thought UConn wouldn't have any issues. It didn't. I thought Illinois and Iowa State would get through without too many issues. They didn't. I thought Duke would show itself well. I actually picked James Madison in my bracket, but I thought Duke had a good chance to kind of revert to form. That happened. I didn't think Purdue would have issues. It didn't. So we got some of that. I'm a big believer in Creighton. I have them in the Final Four. The highlights for me, as someone who just loves the game, loves covering this tournament, to see an Oakland take out Kentucky, the thrill of that, Yale over Auburn. I do embrace the mid-majors having their moment. I love the fact that Washington State was able to get to the tournament for the first time in 16 years and then get a win at that and beating Drake before getting out in a tough game against Iowa State. So as we sit here, a small bummer, not a big one, that we don't have a Cinderella. NC State's the only double-digit seed. You are not a Cinderella if you come from a power conference. Call them a dark horse or a sleeper. I'll take either of that. But the Cindy moniker is only for the tiny schools there. But the trade-off is, of course, we are looking at eight really, really good matchups. And even the two that have, like, maybe the least amount of appeal, Marquette, NC State, well, the NC State story is really, really awesome. And then Arizona versus Clemson, you know, Clemson coming out of the ACC and that conference stepping up again in a big-time way. Arizona is a really, really fun team. So there really isn't one stinker matchup here awaiting us in the regional semi.
Matt, I was absolutely mesmerized with that Creighton-Oregon game. I thought that was as good of basketball and basketball drama as this tournament can offer up. I thought it was fantastic.
It was just, I mean, I was in the studios for CBS Sports HQ, and I was dialed in on that. I hope that the reality of that game doesn't get lost over the years to the final score because how Creighton pulled away. But it offers what I love about the tournament, and it is two schools not that familiar with each other, different kind of styles, and when they clash on a neutral floor, there's an engaged crowd and there is a tension that is constant but fluctuating depending on, you know, where we are in the game, the trips down the floor, Baylor Shireman hitting a big shot to even get it to another overtime session there. It was awesome. I would say Oregon versus Creighton and Florida versus Colorado have probably been the two best games of the tournament start to finish. Kentucky, Oakland, not that far behind.
I'll give you credit on Duke. I didn't see that coming. 2.5 weeks ago, we have a Duke team that is showering the Carolina players with water bottles and paper cups. The head coach is apologizing to the student body for losing. They go to the ACC tournament and lose to NC State. I did not see that coming. What made you such a believer in Duke?
Well, I've seen them a number of times this season, and I talked, you know, had the chance to talk with John Shire here and there, and I know that he has not really wavered too much privately on his team's potential because of its guard play. And so here with this guard play, you have McCain's been just outstanding. Filipowski's been reliable for the most part. Weirdly, they didn't need him in the first game at all against Vermont. But yeah, it's a combination of their talent, their shooting, and I think finding an edge that I think gives Duke the best chance at beating of any of the one seeds in the Sweet 16.
You're off to Boston. We'll start there. Looks like UConn's to lose. What are your thoughts?
I do expect UConn to get out of the region. I think San Diego State is benefited by the fact that it is somewhat familiar with UConn. Obviously, there are differences and significant ones from when they played a year ago. But I don't think UConn will get too much resistance. I'm thinking it'll be anywhere between, like, I mean, I've seen this UConn team, Bob, be so dominant. And I'd love for San Diego State to prove me wrong, but I'm thinking somewhere between, like, a 12- and 16-point victory for UConn in home territory. And then Illinois over Iowa State does feel like a coin flip to me. I think it's actually the closest game of the eight Sweet 16 matchups by projected score and point spread. I will go with Illinois because – I think it has enough offense, and Terrence Shannon Jr., with him available and his ability to lift up that offense there, I would take them narrowly, but I can't wait for that game. That is going to be an outstanding matchup. And then ultimately in the region, I've got UConn coming out of it, but UConn versus Illinois, if they meet, it will be the top two offenses in the country, points per possession. And that would be a massive, big-time regional final.
Take us through the other three. Give a penny for your thoughts on those.
Yeah, absolutely. In the West, I think you've got the best chance for chaos in the West. I think Bama beating Carolina isn't unthinkable. I would lean Carolina because Alabama's defense has let it down. And if you look at some other teams that were good this season, like top 20 in the metrics good, but had weak defenses, Auburn had a good defense, but it was a little inconsistent.
It's out. Baylor had a bad defense. It's out. Wisconsin was a top 20 predictive metrics team. Didn't have a good defense. It's out. BYU, bad defense, out. Kentucky, bad defense, out. The only teams that are still in the Sweet 16 that have basically sub 40 defenses are, NC State aside, are Gonzaga, which is barely sub 40, Illinois, which is counteracted by its offense, and then Alabama. I will take UNC to win. I like Arizona to win. That means Caleb Love against his former team. And I think we're going to look at – I think we'll look at Arizona getting it done. That's a fantastic matchup, though. In the Midwest, I think the Midwest is the best chance at giving us the three games that are the closest because you've got Purdue-Gonzaga. If Gonzaga can just maintain its offensive firepower that it's had as of late, it's got a good chance. Creighton-Tennessee, what a tremendous game there. Rick Barnes trying to get Tennessee to the Elite Eight. The program's never made a Final Four. Creighton's never made a Final Four. One of those two teams are going to play for a chance for their first Final Four. Creighton obviously trying to get back to the Elite Eight for a second straight year. I'm taking Creighton to come out of the region. I had it on Selection Sunday. I'm not backing off it. I had this exact Sweet 16 matchup, so this has gone as I thought it would. And I will take Purdue to beat Gonzaga for basically the third time in about, 55 games or so. They played at the start of last season. They played at the start of this season. And here they are again. And then the last one in the South, I'll go Houston over Duke, but it's the least amount of confidence I have of any one seed in the Sweet 16. I will take Marquette to beat NC State. But we are going to have either Duke, NC State, Clemson, or Alabama. I'm not picking any of them to win. I'm not happy about it. One of those four is going to win. It's just hard for me to pinpoint which one it's going to be. One of those four is taking out a team. We're going to have a team that wins an upset and gets into the Elite Eight. I will go Marquette. And then only because I really like the matchup for Houston against Marquette because of Jamal Shedd's capacity to maybe shut down or at least resist Tyler Colick a little bit, I've got Houston making the Final Four alongside UConn, Arizona, and Creighton.
Our Players of the Year finalists are out. The top four turned out to be R.J. Davis, Zach Edey, Dalton Connect, and Jamal Shedd. You can't really go wrong. I mean, Edey obviously is the front runner, but man, those guys have had fantastic years. I have fallen in love with Jamal Shedd, I got to tell you.
He's been amazing. And how about this? I'm sure you noticed it, but for the listeners here, this is a rare thing. The four finalists are all in the Sweet 16, and they are featuring prominently in this tournament as they have all season. Sometimes you have an upset, but that's not the case. RJ Davis on one seed, UNC. You know, Jamal Shedd, one seed, Houston. Dalton Connect, two seed, Tennessee. And then in that same region, Zach Edey, of course, who's comfortably in the lead in terms of my opinion at Purdue. It would be awesome if we got Purdue-Tennessee and had the top two players. In my opinion, it's been Edey, then Connect, then Davis, then Shedd. But it's a closer race between three and four, in my opinion. But it's been awesome. And, you know, I do want to drop one thing here that I haven't said on the CBS podcast. I haven't really written it. I haven't said it on CBS Sports HQ. I do not push back on the very accurate talking point this season that women's college basketball, because of Caitlin Clark, beyond all others, that they've had, you know, Juju Watkins has been a breakout star. Angel Reese obviously has a high profile. Now Paige Beckers is coming on. It is amazing to see women's college basketball have this kind of star power and compete with the men and just uplift the sport. But I do push back on the idea that men's college basketball has not had star power. Zach Edey is about to probably pull off the first back-to-back national player of the year campaign, obviously in terms of Naismith, since Ralph Sampson. And, you know, UNC had a top five player in the country who's played in the Final Four in RJ Davis. Jamal Shedd played on the Final Four team. I get it. Houston, for the average fan, is a little more, it's not going to stick out as much. So I won't push back on that. Dalton Connect's been a firecracker and has transformed the Tennessee offense. And that's in addition to the fact that, like, Kyle Filipowski is a very well-known player in this sport, kind of unquestionably. So, the power of the tournament and how that was reflected in the television ratings again, it's still there. The sport has firepower and star power. I thought that got to be a little bit of a lazy default talking point we can uplift the women and should, but we don't need to do it at the expense of the men's game. They've both been very entertaining, and both of them have prominent star players in their own right.
And that's how we feel about it here at the Naismith. Matt, thank you. I hope you have a chance to stop by the brunch on Sunday in Phoenix. Thank you for all you do for us. This is fantastic. Thanks for taking time.
Bob, I appreciate it. Let's enjoy the rest of the tournament.
Thank you, Matt, so much. We appreciate it. And when we gather next, it will be Final Four time in Cleveland and Phoenix. We cannot wait to get there. From all of us at the Naismith Awards, Bob Rathbun saying so long.